I would like to introduce to you Dr. Carol Abbott. Her husband is Tom, and you've been looking at pictures of them for the last month. I encourage you to open up your hearts to receive this, what the Lord has given to Dr. Carol. She has written a book on first fruits. And so get your Bibles out and get ready to take some notes. At the end of her message, right after our offering, we will be giving a handout for further study. And so just know that you are going to get some notes that are coming later. And so Dr. Carol and I have known each other a long time. Really, really long time, I think. And you also went to Indiana Christian University, ICU, Dr. Summerall's college. She went to the college in Indianapolis. And she served Vicki Payne, Pastor Vicki Payne, for years down in Indianapolis. And I believe that's how we met, because Dr. Vicki Payne was a CI minister. And so she was just beginning and loved God and loved Pastor Vicki. And Pastor Vicki was one of those pastors that, like Dr. Summerall, you'd be sitting in her service and demons would start screaming. Yeah, that's the kind of that's the kind of training Dr. Carol Abbott come up under. And so we just thank God for the relationship, the connection. And when Pastor Vicki passed away, she passed the church on to Dr. Carol and Pastor Tom. And so we are thankful to be a part of the network of churches together in Indiana, making a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen. That's why we're here. And so let's give Dr. Carol a warm welcome from River of Life. You can just come right on up here. Turn you loose.
Praise
She's
God.
Going to
okay.
teach 1 hour. Okay, are you ready? 1 hour. So hold on.
Praise God. Well, I'm so thrilled to be here. Such a sweet spirit in this house. Nice to be worshiping with all of you fellow believers today. I'm just so thankful for Dr. Janet and Apostle Leonard having me here today. I want to introduce my husband, Pastor Tom, is back in Indy holding down Glory Point. And my assistant, sweet Cheryl Meyer Derricks, here is with me. And, you know, I want you guys to know that your apostles are taking excellent care of you. Dr. Janet and I had been speaking about possibly coming and doing this sometime early this year, maybe by March. And there was a word given out by Chuck Pierce that this is a first fruits year. And right away, Dr. Janet texted me and said, let's do January as soon as possible. Because she's trying to set you all up for success. She wants to get this principle into your hands about the first fruit covenant and how to live by God's first fruit principles. So I'm really excited to be here. You know, you all know that we're in the midst of the Third Reformation. And God is reforming some things and bringing to light old teachings or things in His words, in the Word of God, that needs to be amplified and be given a modern application that we know how to walk in that Word, like we've not known to before. So that's what's happening right now, is this first fruit mystery is coming to light during this Reformation time. One of the reasons I'm real excited to be here is there was a word released over the state of Indiana in 2003 on the 50-state tour with Chuck Pierce and Dutch Sheets. I don't know if you all know about that. They talked about a first fruits movement being launched from Indiana, and that Indiana is the first strike state, that there would be a first fruit of harvest in Indiana that's going to take place first here. Well, I got real excited this week when I realized I have never been to the northern part of our state with this word. I have only been to a few churches in Indiana that have opened up for me to teach it. I've been in other states, California, North Carolina, California twice, several states, but not here in this state where it's supposed to begin. This is the first. You all are the fulfillment of part of this word, that this first fruits movement is coming to Indiana. It's going to start here. Amen. This is the first church, the first people I've spoken to in the northern part of our state beyond the central part. Amen? So I'm really excited as God is launching the First Fruits movement forth today with you. He's entrusting it to you. Amen? Okay, so without further ado, let me go ahead and move into it. First Fruits, today I'm going to speak primarily about the First Fruit offering. First Fruits is giving the first and best of your life. And there is a lot more to this teaching about being a first fruit creature. What is it to be firstborn in Christ? There's just a lot more that's very exciting. But today we're going to focus on what do we need to know about how to walk in first fruits today? So some of you may have wondered, why is the body of Christ not really exuberantly prospering? Why does it seem that heavens are not quite as open as we think they should be? Yet the patriarchs of our faith were very blessed. So why is that? The Jewish people, the Israeli people, they knew, they entered into a first fruit covenant with God that we have not known how to do. First fruits and the concept of firstborn and first things from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I'm not going to take you all the way on that journey today because we don't have time. But we're going to focus. I'm going to lay a foundation of some key scriptures for you. Okay? And I think you're going to find it very exciting. So today we're going to talk about what is it to have to live by first fruit principles and to enter into a first fruit covenant with God. And I believe as you do this, your life will be richly changed. Amen? And your church. So, first fruits has been lost. It hasn't been taught properly. But today we're going to go into Revelation about how it is the original worship practice that God set forth for his people. And you'll notice that even instructions were given about giving first fruits before they entered into the promised land. If you look at the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah the Reformer, we're in the Third Reformation now. We need to see what was going on with Nehemiah the Reformer. Well, he came to reform and to put the first fruit offerings and the tithes and the thing and the reading of the word back into the church that they were not doing. And he built the walls. But there was a lot more that he had to reinstate to get the church set up for success, to get God's people in a place where they could prosper. So those were specific instructions entering the promised land. So I believe that God wants to set you up today to enter into your promised land or to go further into your promised land. Amen? So there's been misteachings that first fruits and tithes are the same thing, that they're synonymous. They are not. Let me show you a few things. Are we recording today? Okay, I'm giving you a lot today. I'm just going to keep moving forward. So I would advise you to get the tapes. If you want to jot down the scripture address, you could do that. But it's going to be hard to take notes on everything that I'm going to deliver to you today. So in 2 Chronicles 31:5, it talks about as soon as the commandment was circulated, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of their grain and their wine, the oil and honey, and all the produce of the field, and they brought in abundantly the tithe of everything. If they're the same thing, why do we have the conjunction and? First fruits and tithes. Again, Nehemiah 12, verse 44, it talks about the storehouse and it says first fruits and the tithes. Two different things. So let's look at the definitions. Let's look at the meaning. Like, how are they really different? So the first fruits, according to the American Heritage Dictionary, is the first product of the season's harvest. Or maybe in business terms, the first result or profit of an undertaking. In the Holman's Bible Dictionary, it says it's the choice examples of the crop harvested first and dedicated to God. In the biblical dictionary, biblical imagery, I thought this was interesting. It says it's the first ripening of the harvest that was ritually offered to God because everything ultimately belonged to him. The second definition, to consume the first fruit as any other crop would be to profane it, for it was regarded as sacred. The first fruit is holy. Yes. So we have to beware when we're experiencing, when we have a first fruit in our hand, when it's the first of something. And I'm going to share as many testimonies as I can today of what that looks like. So it's the first ripe portion or produce, or it's also the firstborn of the flock. It's the firstborn of the womb of humans and of animals. The one thing I want to show you is about the perspective that we need to have as God's first people saw it. Israel recognized that the land was God's and he was the owner of it. That they were simply leasing the land from God. And if you know anything about tenant farming, the tenant farmers would always give that first part to the owner, right? Because they were his crop. So they gave it with thanksgiving. They honored God that this is not our land. It's yours. You're lending it to us. You're leasing it to us. And they would give the first fruits out of their heart with the perspective that it all belongs to him. Now, in the Hebraic term for the, one of the Hebraic terms for the first fruit is Bikurim. And Bikurim means the first and the best. So we're basically giving God the first and the best at the beginning time when a harvest comes into your hand. And I'll explain more about what that means. But meanwhile, let's now look at the definition of tithing. Tithing is the practice of giving one-tenth of one's income or property as an offering to God. Tithing does not say anything about being the first or the best. Tithing, by definition, is a calculation of one-tenth at the end of the harvest. The first fruit is at the beginning of the harvest. It's just the very first ripe portion. Then you bring it in out of the field. Then one-tenth. That's holy. That's God's. Okay? Tithing and first fruit works together, but I'm hoping that you already know. I believe you already know about tithing, so I'm just going to concentrate on what the first fruits is because that's been the lost key. That's been the missing part of why I believe we have not come into God's total open heaven. Amen? So that's what I want to give you each today personally is the missing key. So let's look at where first fruits originated. It originated in Genesis 4:4 with Abel and Cain. The first tithe was in Genesis 14. 10 chapters later, we have the tithe after the first fruit is done first. Okay? And that was with Abraham when he gave the one-tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek, to the priest, and put it in his hand. It's interesting, they're both mentioned first. I'm sorry, they're both mentioned equal amount of times. 32 times each. Both important to God, both holy, both established and ordained of him. And this was how he showed us to worship him. With the first of any endeavor, the first of anything that comes to us, and then the tithe at the end of the fuller harvest cycle. Okay, so let's look at the scripture, Genesis 4. And you don't have to open your word, but I would write down the address of the scripture. Genesis 4, 2 and 8. And this is referring to Eve, and it says, then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was the keeper of sheep, but Cain was the tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat. The Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Why? It's always been taught, again, another misteaching, that because Abel brought a blood sacrifice. It was all about the blood. It was not. It was not because it was a blood sacrifice. Look closely at this scripture. It says that Abel brought the firstborn, okay, the first of what he did as a keeper of sheep. But it says that Cain brought an offering. It was not the first of anything he did. Can you see that? If you look in your scripture, it says an offering, not anything close to the first. So Cain had consumed the very first and gave God a common offering. He did not give him the first of what he did. And this is the thing. God is no respecter of persons. No matter what you do, if you give God the first of it, you give him something to bless. And it shows that as you give the substance, the first most precious thing that comes in, that would be precious to you, but it's precious to him. And you show you're in covenant with him when you give it to him. You're serving God first. Serve God the first portion. When you sit down at a family dinner, would you not? They'll serve the father first. We're serving God first. And it's honoring to him. It's a way to honor him. So if we look now, let me say one more thing here. You see, first fruit, we'll find it as it was given by law by Moses before they entered the promised land. And that's what Joshua used as the strategy to go into the promised land, was the first fruits. But you'll see here, this is a creation ordinance. God did this with the first family. So this was set up for creation. So some people don't believe, oh, that's just a law. No, this goes all the way through even to Revelations. But this is a creation ordinance with the very first human beings. Because you see, the Lord's original plan was to teach us how to worship him, how to worship a holy God in a way that's pleasing to him, and to enter into a covenant and a partnership with him. When you give him the first of what comes out of your field, so to speak, or the work of your hands, and you give that to him, you're saying, God, would you be my partner? What I have is yours. And God will begin to give you strategies. He'll begin to give you favor. So first fruits, along with tithing, is God's plan to set you up for success. Now, let's look at the scripture again. And I'm going to continue where I left off. I left off at verse 5 that says, but God did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain became angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? This is what God says to him. If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at your door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. So what does the Lord say? He says, you know what to do. You know the right thing to do. They knew to give the first fruits of whatever they did, and Cain did not. He said, if you know what to do, if you do that, it'll go well with you. So now he's got sin lying at his door that he has hate. So now what happens with humans, right? We do something wrong. We want to blame our brother, right? Literally, it's what he's doing. He's blaming his brother. Why is he blaming his brother? Why is he upset with his brother? Well, God gave me a revelation on this one day that God respected Abel's offering. What does that mean when God respected Abel's offering? It doesn't say how much time passes here. The way God respected his offering is Abel started experiencing increase and blessing, and Cain was jealous over it. But he blamed Abel as if Abel made him do something wrong. Abel did not take anything from him. Cain could have had the same blessing if he would have given God his first and his best. God is not limited. He can bless us all. If your brother or sister gets blessed, it does not mean they are taking your portion. Amen. In fact, in the Jewish culture, if a brother or sister or somebody here gets blessed, don't get jealous. You know what they see? When they see their neighbor getting blessed, it just means they're next. Okay? Thank you, Lord, that you're scheduling me next for whatever the blessings are, you know? But we need to know how to do the right thing. So, the first fruit blessing, which you'll be very convinced by the time we're finished, that it is all about increase. Okay? So Cain saw Abel being prolifically blessed, and that's what he got upset about. So let's talk just a smidge more about what the first fruit is. It's holy. It is the Israelites, they consecrated and deemed holy to God the first of anything to break through. The first of the womb, the first to open the matrix, the first of a business venture, the first of anything. The first fruit was always the first one to appear, the first ripe portion. And this was the way to honor and glorify God as a form of worship. Have you ever called out to God, how can I worship you more? How can I've asked that. And this is what God showed me. This is how to worship me in the way that I desire to be worshiped. So I submit to him and I worship him in this way, not any other way that I want to worship him. I want to worship him the way that makes him happy. So the first fruit, like the tithe, it's holy. It's not common. The first fruit, once you give it, it brings blessing and consecration over the rest of the harvest that's still in the field. Okay? So like my husband, he has some various things going on. There's three areas right now. I'm just calling, God, you said you'd give seed to the sower. Lord, I need this first fruit seed. I need a first fruit from this venture, from this and this. As soon as I get those first fruits and I give them to our covering, those fields are blessed. They're consecrated from the enemy and they belong to God. And we're saying we're in partnership with you. I just need something. So my husband and I, there's some things that have been stalled. We're like, God, I just need the first, give me something from this. Something from this and something from this, so that each field will be blessed and consecrated. Amen? God says he'll give seed to the sower, and he does. We have put him to the test on this, and he does. And then we can give him that first fruit. Then after you give him the first fruit, then the rest of the harvest is blessed and sanctified. If dilemmas arise, it doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. If dilemmas arise, you go to war with it. Is it God, but I gave you the first fruit. Okay? And I'm going to teach you about the two anointings on the first fruit. And that's what you were with. Okay, so the first fruit is the first to break through. Let me give you a scripture. Romans 11:16. This is Paul speaking. For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. So he's comparing it to a bowl of dough, and he's comparing it to a tree. If you give the first lump out of the dough, so the first fruit is holy, so is the rest of it once you give that. With a tree, once you take an apple off the tree, you give the first fruit, now the roots are blessed. It's like God gives it supernatural, spiritual miracle grow, okay? Now the whole tree is blessed, and now the prolific fruit that comes out of it, because now that tree is anointed to bear fruit, to increase and to be blessed for you. Okay? So it's that first portion. It sanctifies and blesses the rest of it. Now, one of the other things that this is a key scripture is that in Exodus 13:1-2, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb, among the children of Israel, both man and beast, and also with the first fruits of the fields, the honey, the oil, all those things, he says, it is mine. God claims it. Personally, if God says something is mine, I'm not going to go to war with God over saying, no, you can't have that. I don't think that's very smart. Amen. If God says it's his, let's just let him have it. Amen. Some of us, we just cry, God, I just want to know what pleases you. This is what pleases the Lord. Amen. Amen. Okay, let me give you an example, a testimony. So, we'd been giving first fruits for a while, my husband and myself. We were on this first fruit covenant journey together. And one day, it was a Monday, And I think it was in 2005. And for some reason, we did not have the car payment. It was due on Wednesday in 2 days, and we didn't have it. Now, we've always paid our bills. We've always had money to pay our bills. For some reason, this was the very last car payment on the car, and we didn't have it. And it was $522.33. So we're trying to decide what to do about it. The mail comes. I go out to the mailbox. I get out an envelope. I bring it in. I open it up. It's a check for $500. And I'm waving it before Tom. And I say, hold on, hold on. And I say, oh, the car payment's here. And I'm hearing, this is not the car payment in my spirit. This is not the car payment. I'm not. So I look at it. $500. And in the memo, it says consulting. I said, Tom, what is this? He says, oh, that's a consulting check for some work I did with such and such. Is this the first one? Yeah, it is. Oh. Do you like it? Do you want to do more of it? Oh, yeah. It's good. It's easy. Make really good money. Oh. If you want to continue to do it, then this is the first fruit. If you don't care about it, if another cent comes from this, then you can consume it and you will see nothing else from it. So I'm like, okay, so now we're, this particular offering was one that took, at that point, a lot of faith for us, because there was a need of the same amount. Okay? So now we had to really get into faith, and all of a sudden I started to see, it was like God's little finger. It's like, you know what, if we did this, $500 is nothing. It's like it's in his little finger. It's nothing for God. You know, and then I said a funny thing to him. I said, you know, it's like we're going to be teaching this or something to people. So we did get an agreement. It took a few minutes to really kind of sort this out, right? We got an agreement and we said, okay, so I was going to see our Apostle Vicki Payne in 2 hours. So I did not tell her. When I gave it to her, oh, we don't have the car payment. I think I might have even cashed it. A lot of times I would just give her cash in an envelope. So I just thought it'd be easier for her to use that way. So I took it over to her that afternoon and gave it to her. And she blessed it, and that fire would come on it. And so she prayed over it. So another situation going on is Tom was self-employed, so to speak, like an independent contractor. We did not get a medical insurance provision. And he'd been asking his employers for, it's a small company, three times. Every time they said no. After we gave the first fruit, he calls and asks for a stipend to cover at least something of our medical premium. We gave the first fruit. Put it in the hands of the apostle. It was blessed. The answer was yes. They said yes. In fact, we'll overnight it to you tonight. You'll have it tomorrow. $500. As my daughter would say, you can't make that stuff up. So it came the next day. Car payment paid on Wednesday. Just had to release our faith and believe that God could do whatever God wants to do. Amen? Okay, I'm going to come back to that in a moment. But what I just want to go right now and teach you about the two anointings on the first fruit. So one day, you're going to think the apostles brought in this crazy lady to talk to you today. Okay, one day I was looking at my dog's chew toy. The treat, it's called a Doggy Kong, I think. I looked at it and I thought, well, that looks like a piece of fruit. And I thought, isn't that interesting? And it reminded me about the power of God and about the anointings from it. So, Dr. Janet, this is the first fruit. So here is a $20 bill. And I'm personally giving, this is not a demonstration that I take it back. This is for you to keep. It's a first fruit to you. So I want to put this in the first fruit in your hand. And as I give that to her, what's coming out? This is an anointing cloth. So think of this as an anointing. The anointing for multiplication and increase, as she blesses it, comes upon me. Oh, geez.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Now, the second anointing wrapped up in that first fruit that just came out as I give it to her and as she prayed over it and released it to me is a deliverance anointing. It's an anointing to rebuke the devourer. It's a spirit of destruction that goes against what comes against you. Those now belong to me. Where's the other one at? Okay. So would you please just bless that to me?
Yes.
Just say, just bless that first fruit.
I bless that first fruit.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I feel a deliverance anointing being released. I just release that deliverance anointing
Thank
right
you,
now,
Lord,
Lord
yes.
God.
Yes.
Wow.
Thank
you. Okay. So you hang on to that. That's yours. Does that help explain or does that help to understand that when you give the first fruit, you give it to your pastor or to the apostle, these are the two anointings that come out. One for multiplication and increase, two to rebuke the devourer. Okay? Now, if you go back to the example that I just shared for you with Tom's consulting check, he asked three times for a medical stipend for insurance, right? As soon as the first fruit was given, that anointing went out to rebuke the devourer that the three no's turned into a yes. Things that were not possible are all of a sudden possible after the first fruit anointing was given. Now, let me say this. This was like a 24-hour. Not always will it occur like this. I've had first fruits that are sometimes still in the ground on various things, okay? That's okay. God knows when they're going to be ripe and when to release it to you, okay? Sometimes the longer it is in the ground, the bigger the harvest, okay? So you don't always get a 24-hour answer. This particular one was. We've had a few that were, but not all. Okay, now, it was pretty cool that right after we gave that, $500 was released to us, wasn't it? So it covered what we gave, and we got the car paid, right? Okay. The anointing of increase, exponential increase, multiplying increase, was released when that first fruit was given. Okay, so it's cool that, you know, we got it right back, right? But the thing was, when that first fruit was given, that release brought it continually. That 500 kept coming every month. Let's talk about the exponential multiplication, right? Okay. 2005. $500 every month. 500 times 12 is 6,000. 6,000 a year. 6,000 times 13 years is $78,000. It kept coming. It kept increasing. It kept multiplying. This past fall, suddenly my husband's company sold and some huge favor came to him. Now, instead of that $500, we get this premium medical package and excessive benefits, and it just kept increasing. Now we don't need the $500. We need more than that. God releases more. Once you give it, it will keep increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing and increasing. As long as you're alive, it will keep increasing. Once you put it in there, you cannot take it back out. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. Have I got you excited? Okay. Okay, if you're excited at any point, you just let me know. Okay. Praise God. Okay, now let me give you the scripture support. I've told, did I give you the scripture on the increase? Well, we'll get it all in here. Okay, so for both of them, actually, Malachi 3, 7 and 11. And this scripture here, it says, you're probably familiar with it, but I'm going to show you some things you haven't seen. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. So let's put this in perspective. This is the very last book of the Old Testament. Right before, this is like a couple pages before, 400 years of silence, and then Jesus comes. Right before God went silent, this is what he said to the people. You've not kept my commandments. And it says, return to me. So you need to do something. Return to me, and I'll return to you. says the Lord of hosts. But the people said, in what way shall we return? How do we return? And he says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But the Lord says, I'm sorry, but you say, in other words, the people said, in what ways have we robbed you? Tithes and offerings. So they broke his commands of giving the tithes and the offerings. Now they're separated from God because he says, if you return to me, I'll return to you. There's a separation here. There's a violation. They broke the first fruit. They broke the covenant principles of tithes and offerings. So it says offerings, but it doesn't say first fruit. If you go and look up offerings, one of the primary offerings was the first fruit. And actually the heave offering and a couple others, they were very similar like the first fruits where they went to the priest. They were his portion. But we'll talk more about that. Okay, so then he says, you've robbed me in the tithes and the offerings. You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even the whole nation. Bring the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house and try me now in this. So he says, just test me on this. So keeping in mind, we're talking about tithes and offerings. Then he says, test me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing for you that there is not room enough to receive it. There's the increase, the anointing for the increase and the multiplication. And then next he says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. The second anointing. So that he will not, in other words, the enemy will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor will your vines fail, or your fruit in the fields, says the Lord of hosts. There's the anointings right there. And again, it's the tithe and the first fruits that work together. So let's talk about the Lord rebuking the devourer for your sake. This is also called the spirit of destruction, okay? So when the Lord rebukes the devourer, there's a spirit of destruction that goes out against that thing that's coming against you. Just like we were hindered in getting medical insurance coverage. When the first fruit went out, the anointing was released, and that was broken. Okay? Now, nobody was hurt in it, right? It wasn't like they didn't kill the employer. We're not talking about people. It's a spiritual thing. Okay. So first fruits are devoted to God. They're set apart. They're holy. They're devoted to him. Let me give you an example of this just real quick, and that is Jericho, the first fruit city. Jericho, as they went to the promised land, God told them to give the first fruits when they got there, right? They had instructions. Jericho was the first fruit city, and they were told to take the spoils, the gold, the silver, the garment, and put them in the Lord's treasury for the Lord. Okay? What happened? Achan didn't do it. Achan thought they looked pretty and shiny. He went and buried them in his tent to consume them for himself. So they conquered Jericho. They're like, oh, we're good. We're going to go get Ai. They go to Ai. No power, no anointing to take a very small little city. Why? When you consume the first fruits, the spirit of destruction that's meant to go against that would your enemies, now comes against you. God told them to do to use the first fruit principles so that they would have power against their enemies to take the next seven cities into their promised land. But when Achan took the first fruits to himself, there was no power anointing against their enemies. They were powerless. So what has to happen then? Joshua goes before the Lord. Lord, what's going on? Take them, you know, tribe by tribe, clan by clan, family by family. Achan took them and put him in his tent. Did he bring a curse just upon himself? His whole family was killed. He brought it upon his family. Everything they owned was killed, burned, just purged out of the earth. They repented. They set everything right. They kept the spoils in the treasury of God for that. Because you notice, sometimes it said they took something. Other times it said they didn't. This was a first fruit city. And it says the devoted things were laid up for the Lord. It was the first fruits. So now everything is set in order. They go out. They take Ai. They take all the cities. Because the power of God was with them. The spirit of destruction went before them and anointed them to take out their enemies. Amen. I just really believe that you all here are a first fruit city in Elkhart. You're a first fruit church. Okay, I believe you're going to get a hold of this. And you're going to do some things that the Lord said is going to break the economic barriers that have been against you, is what I heard yesterday. The economic barriers are going to be broken as you apply these principles. And you're going to be like an example for others to see around you. Amen. Okay, let's talk about who the first fruits are given to. A key verse for this, and I love this verse, there's so much in this. Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 3. And it shall be, when you come into the promised land, again, these promised land instructions, the first fruits was given like several different times. This is one of them. Into the promised land, which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. This is setting you up to receive spiritual and natural inheritance. I've got stories on that, but I can't go into it. So it says, when you come into the promised land, which the Lord is giving you as your inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the produce of the ground, which you will bring into the land that the Lord your God has given you. Then you're going to put it in a basket. And you're going to go to that place where the Lord chooses to make his name abide. This is an altar where God chooses to make his name abide. Okay? And you shall go to the one who is the priest in those days. Okay, now let's look what it says next. And say to him, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the country which the Lord swore to his fathers to give. So, the first fruits, it goes to the priests, okay? It goes in the basket. The apostles are going to, because they don't know about this, so I'm telling them too, this is instructions for them, that you take the basket, you're going to wave it before God, that this would be acceptable. This is a place where God's name rests, and his spirit hovers over this place and over each family and person that is part of it. Okay? They're going to bless and release the blessings to you for the first fruits. Okay? Now, let me just show you a little bit more. Ezekiel 44:30. This is a key verse. It says, the best of all the first fruits of any kind. There are all kinds of firsts, and you're going to start to see, Lord, I thank you, release the anointing to open their eyes, that they are going to be aware and sensitive to any first times, first things, all the firsts before them. Just like I waved the check, I thought it was a car payment, but I heard God say, this is not the car payment. It was the first fruit. I thank you, Lord God, that they're going to be very sensitive and aware. And Lord, anybody that's not here today that's listening to this message on a recording, that they too would be hypersensitive to when you have a first fruit coming into their hands or a first time. Okay, so it says, they brought the first fruit, bring the best of all the first fruits, and every sacrifice of any kind from all of your sacrifices, they shall be the priests. Also, you shall give to the priest the first of your ground meal. Okay, are you listening? In order to cause a blessing to rest upon your house. Okay? The blessing upon your house is to rebuke the devourer, to bring the increase, and more, the favor of God. There are things that have happened to us I can't even explain, that you wouldn't even know to ask for. Amen? Okay, so this is a key verse that shows us the first fruits are given to the priest. Okay? So, when you bring your first fruits and you put them in the basket, God says, actually, it says, you give them to me, but then another scripture says, I give them to the priest, which we might equate today to the senior pastors or the apostles of the house. Okay? So, when they come in, there is an anointing on their hands, okay? On their hands, even though the enemy has been warring against you, there's an anointing on their hands to bless your personal first fruits, that a blessing will rest upon your household that only they can do. Amen? They're the ones that cover you. They're the ones that have the power to bless you in that. But it's very specific. They have the power to release that blessing. I think it's beautiful. It's so clear in the Word. And it's like, oh, why didn't we know this before, Lord? You know, I taught this to my children growing up as I was learning it. My children have outstanding examples. What I couldn't do from the very beginning as a child, they've been able to do. It's just been mind-blowing. Even my kids, mind-blowing what the Lord has done for them. So just real quickly, to kind of show you how things work, that God sets it up for success. The first fruits go to the priest. The Levites are the ones that actually receive the tithe. The tithe goes to take care of the other workers in the house, the worship leaders and such, whoever's on payroll, so to speak, in God's house, right? The alms, they go to the poor. So, you bring your, you just bring what you have. You don't bring anything you don't have. You just bring what you have. You bring the first fruits. You put it in the basket. The priest blesses it. Now they have something to live on. And they don't have to go out and get a second job or to work the fields and try to be priest or pastor, right? Then the tithes come in and they take care of the rest of the workers in the house so that the pastors don't have to do everything and everybody's compensated and they can live and take care of their families, right? From both of these, now you all are blessed. And you, because of the blessing of the first fruits and the tithes, you should keep increasing. You keep spiraling upward. Okay? And God keeps fighting against the enemy that's warring against you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have problems. But when a problem arises, a dilemma arises, you say, but God, I gave the first fruits. I've been giving my tithes, Lord. Lord, I ask you to rebuke the devourer for my sake. Lord, this looks like it's nothing. Do I stop doing this? Is this not a good venture? Or are you going to bring the increase? If there's a problem, you remind God. If there's not enough paycheck to go around, God, you said you'd bring the increase. I've given my first fruits. So in any area you give a first fruits, that means you've established a first fruit covenant with God in that area. That's why I would suggest you to give a first fruits from whatever area that various incomes come to you. Okay? Which I probably don't have a lot of time to go into right now. I want to make sure I get you all these scriptures here. So let's keep moving forward. So it's a cycle of blessing. The pastors are taken care of. The workers in the house are taken care of. The people are taken care of and keep increasing. Then more just keeps coming into the house. See, it's a cycle of blessing that God himself created. In Nehemiah 12:44, it says that Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who ministered as they gave their first fruits and their tithes. It is good to rejoice and thank God for those that he sent into your life, that they're a gift to you, that minister to you. Amen. And then Numbers 18, 8 and 12 is the scripture support that God receives that the first fruits are God's, but that he gives it to them. Okay. Now, I said earlier how sometimes I would give my apostle, I would just give her cash instead of a check. You actually could do that, but then you wouldn't get a donation statement at the end and get a tax credit for that. I really wasn't concerned about that at the time. But what we have now that we actually do it, when I learned this, I was just a girl in the church. I wasn't the pastor. And so I was just pioneering. I was just learning how to do it. Now what we have set up is, and I would suggest that you do this, and we could talk more about this later, is in your accounting to set up a designated fund in your bookkeeping so that if you have a first fruit that you want to give, that you would write first fruits on that envelope. Then accounting would know to take that in. That would go into the designated fund that would be their provision. Does that make sense? So if you give a first fruit, mark it on the envelope. If there's something specific you're believing God for or an area where it came from, so write that on there. Then as they pray over that, they'll know what's going on with that. Amen. Or you could bring it up and give it to them. So you could do it either way. You could do cash, and then you wouldn't have a tax credit. If you want the tax credit, you put it in the envelope and mark first fruits on it so they know that it's not a tithe, that it's separate. Okay, I want to give you another biblical example of, let me see, can I do both? We'll try. Okay, so I want to give you a biblical example where you can see the two anointings working with the first fruit. So in 1 Kings 17, 9 through 24, the Lord sent the prophet Elijah to the widow at Zarephath. The Lord sent her for her to take care of him. Well, this is a time of famine and drought in the land. And she's a poor widow, not a rich widow. So he goes there. And he says, can you just make me can you bring me some bread? And she says, oh, this is the deal, prophet. I have like a little bit of flour. I've got a little bit of oil. I'm going to make some pancakes, and me and my son, we're going to eat them, and then we're going to die of starvation after that. And he says, now, Israeli people, again, they know about first fruits, okay? She would have been aware of first fruits in this time. He says, little widow, would you please give me just a first little pancake? Give me a first fruit pancake, just a first little part, then you guys eat the rest. And she did. So you might say, well, this is all she had left. This is the last of what she had, not the first. No, she gave the first of the last that she had at the prophet's request. Because God, is God thinking right? He just sent him to a poor widow. Why didn't he send him to a rich widow? So what does God do? God says, thus says the God of Israel, the jar of meal shall not waste away and the bottle of oil shall not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth. She did as Elijah said, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar didn't run out. The flour didn't run out. First fruits will bring miraculous provision. Are y'all ready to see the signs, wonders, and the miracles? Yes. I think it's time. Praise God. So now we're going to do a little quiz here. What anointing would that be? The anointing of the increase, right? She gave the first fruit. Miraculously, she had increase when nothing should have been there, right? Okay, let's go a little further. 1 Kings 17, 17 through 24. There's a little dilemma in her household. Her son dies. Is that a problem? I'd say that's a problem. Okay. So what does she do? She goes back to the prophet that she gave the first fruit pancake to. She says, prophet, my son's dead. He comes back to him, and this is what it says in verse 21 and 22. And he, meaning Elijah, stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray you, let this child's soul come back into him. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back into him, and he was revived. That the Lord rebuked the devourer trying to snuff the life out of her child, her only son, her firstborn. So because the first fruit was given, the Lord sent the spirit of destruction against the spirit of death, and it brought life. Amen? So the Lord brought her increase, and that's an example. The Lord rebuked the devourer for her sake in a big way. Another miracle. Somebody dead coming back to life. Praise God. So dilemmas can be reversed. And I believe that more are going to be rising from the dead. Yes, I believe that. And the thing is, as you start giving first fruits and living a first fruit lifestyle, that anointing will rest upon you. And you could come across somebody that has just died in a restaurant or whatever situation. And even though they haven't given first fruits, that anointing will rest upon you that, like Elijah, you can pray for miracles. Amen? For whatever it is. And just say, Lord, I just invoke that first fruit anointing on my life to pray for a miracle, to do what, and just see what is the Spirit saying and release it. Amen? Okay, praise God. I think I've got a few more minutes, right? Okay. Yeah, okay. Okay, I want to give you this testimony now. I'm so glad I have time to give it. Okay. This is a story of the very first fruit that we had given. So it was back in like 99 that I was hearing the Lord whispering first fruits to me. And I said, well, God is the same as tithing. And then I told you, he showed me how it wasn't. And then, so I'm praying for a year and I'm asking God, God, how do I give? I need a first fruit. Now I know I can just seek the Holy Spirit to give a first fruit from my income. I didn't know that then. But I'm like, wait, Lord, give me a first fruit. I need a first fruit, the first of something. And so what was happening was my husband, there's another longer funny story involved here, but my husband had these stock dividends, this cumulative 5% cumulative stock that would produce a $50 dividend every quarter. So every 3 months, we'd get $50 in the mail. So the next time that came, I'm going to give that as a first fruit. Okay, together, that my husband and I together would give that as a first fruit so that our investments would be protected and blessed, right? So it was a Stokely Van Camp stock. I'm waiting for that check to come. It was September 2001. The check was issued from the Bank of New York. That was the month right after 9/11 happened, is when the check was written from the Bank of New York. People were having a hard time then. So all the checks that went out, instead of $50, they dropped the zero and they were all sent out for $5. So I'm like, okay, do I give this as a tithe? So I gave it as a tithe. Now, when you give a first fruit, you don't give a tithe. These were the early years of learning this. You just give the whole first part that comes. So it would have been $50 if I'd had it all in one piece. Okay? But technically, 45 was given as a first fruit. So we gave that. Tom had had this since he was a much younger man. Long time. There's another big funny story that goes with it. It was lost for a while. God showed us where it was. And anyway, so it came. And at one point, Tom and I talked about, should we cash this stock out? And we said, no. We said, let it ride on God. So we'd never done anything with it. It was just there. So we give this first fruit. In the spring, we're meeting with financial advisors and we're like, hey, what happened to that? We didn't get that $50 in December. And now March, where's that dividend? We called. It turned out, and this was the enemy trying to hinder us from coming into harvest. Right after after all those years of having it, the stock was called, cashed out. In 2001, stocks were low after 9/11. It was only ever worth 2,000 to 2,500 together because it produced a dividend, so it wouldn't go up real high. It was called, the stock was called, and it came up to almost $4,400. The bank didn't, they didn't send it to us because now they think they don't have our address. They've always had our address. Now as soon as we give the first fruit and it's cashed out, now, oh, we don't have your right address. But we found out, cashed it out, about $4,400. Again, the increase. It increased in value even in a down market. Amen? Because now, and now the thing is that not just this Stokely Van Camp stock, but any investments are blessed. Okay? All of our investments. So, now we go a little further down the line. And a funny thing happened one night. I wake up at 3 in the morning with a dream. And in this dream, I'm out in the street, and there's this huge bear right there on the street. I'm in front of a college dormitory, and the bear goes in the college dormitory. So I follow him in, and I'm watching, and I see him down the hall. And then at one point, my husband pushes me, and he says, "You watch it." Okay, thanks. Now the bear sees me. Now I'm running down this hallway here into the first dark room that I see. I don't know what's in there. And so I'm in this dorm room, and I see the light coming under the door. And I hear this bear coming now toward me down the hallway. And I hear, ba-boom, ba-boom. Just huge, huge noise, right? As he passes, there's total darkness. And then he passed, and then there was light again. So, you know, it's 3 in the morning. I'm trying to write this down and figure out what it means. And I'm like, okay, it's a college dormitory. It's a dormitory. Everybody's asleep. Everybody's unaware. Tom pushes me. My husband is the one in authority over me. He pushes me. He commands me to watch it. The watchman anointing. Watch this bear. So I'm supposed to watch the bear. Well, what does the bear mean? So I'm kind of half asleep. I'm writing. I'm mumbling. My husband is like walking around. What does the bear mean? He had fallen asleep watching TV out on the sofa. So now he's up. He's coming into the room. I'm like, what does the bear mean? He hears me and he says, "The bear is a bear market." He just fell asleep watching Mad Money with Jim Cramer, where they have the big bear, you know, and the big bull, if it's a bear market or a bull market. This was May 2008. September 2008 was a huge stock market crash. God was warning, and we knew what it meant. There's a stock market crash coming. Yet, so we made some adjustments, not as many as we should have, but we made some. And so we did not get hit by it as others would have because everybody was sleeping and unaware. Now, why would God give me inside information? Because God wanted to rebuke the devourer for my sake, because we gave him a dividend of a first fruit of all of our investments, which includes the stock market. Amen? Amen. He didn't want us getting wiped out by it. So when you give a first fruit, you're in partner now. You're in covenant with God. He's going to give you inside information. And that means I can ask him, "Lord, what do I invest in?" There's some things heating up right now. I was talking with Cheryl about with Bitcoin. Bitcoin's getting ready to split this week. If you have one share of Bitcoin, when it splits, you're going to have 91. But that's another whole story. Anyway, very interesting what's going on in the market right now. So it means you can ask God questions. He will reveal things to you when you partner with him and you're in covenant with him. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Okay. So, do I have 2 more minutes? I can't tell. Okay. We're going to have a handout for you. And what I'd like you to do is look at this more at home. I was having a feeling I would run out of time, so I wrote it down for you so you could use it as a bit of an inventory list. And so, basically, the ways that you can give first fruits is ask the Lord how to give what you would give as a first fruit from your existing income, from whatever you have right now, like it would probably be your job. You might have Social Security. You might have rental property. So what you'd want to do is give something from anything that exists. But ask Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit led. This is not legalism. It's not a legal thing. It's about giving the first to God and giving Him the best. So look at where your income comes in, okay, and see if you can get those things covered. Now, there's a couple in our church. They just got an increase in Social Security. So all they have to do is give that increase. It was like $41. They don't have to give, you know, something from the existing, that increase that just came, give that. Many times when I preach this, some people are just getting raises. If you get a raise from your job, that would be the first fruit. Okay? If you're getting any kind of raise today or this month from anything, that would be a first fruit. So once you take care of the existing income, then from then on, anytime anything new opens up for you or you have a new venture, give the first portion of produce, of fruit, of that comes forth from it. Amen? Let's see. Being led by the Spirit. The other thing is, we're not an agricultural society. And so the trick is, well, how do you make this, we're not an agricultural society and first fruits is, how do you get, what's the modern application, right? So I've just told you what the Lord had shown me. But the other thing I ask is, gosh, if only we knew when it was the Israeli harvest times, we could give them like God's first people did, right? Well, guess what? The three feasts of the Lord are harvest festivals. They are preserved in God's calendar today. If you get this here is a Hebraic calendar with a Roman calendar grid and then the Hebraic calendar over it. Okay, do you have one of these? Have you seen one of these? Okay, this was for you then. So this here is January. What they do is let me flip to the fall. This here was October of this past year. This here is Rosh Hashanah and the Feast of Tabernacles. Whenever there's a feast of the Lord, and there's three of them, so it's Passover, 50 days later, Pentecost, and then in the fall, there's the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot, and then the Rosh Hashanah. They're all highlighted in this kind of brown color, okay? That's when the feasts are, so you'll know exactly when they are. God preserved his harvest festivals when they gave their first fruits in a calendar that still exists today. Isn't that a beautiful thing? I think it's pretty awesome. So just in case, I'm sure somebody's wondering, you can get this, there's three different designs from Elijah List. They've reduced the price. So if you want one of these, just go on Elijah List and order it. Usually I order them from the company that produces them in Israel. And I get a whole bunch of them every year in the fall. So another way to give first fruits is the Lord's feast. So it'll show you when those are. In Passover, there's a day that's first fruits. Give first fruits then. Then there's Pentecost, which is first fruits. Give it then. Then during Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, the last part of the feast cycle, you can give it then. Okay, that's when they gave their first fruits and still do. Then the other way, again, keeping kind of like with this timing thing, each month has a little blue shaded day. And then it goes over to the night before at 6 o'clock because each day began at 6 o'clock when the sun went down. This day is when God created it to be the first day of the month according to his calendar. And God never told Constantine to change the calendar to suit him. So if that's the day, so Chuck Pierce would call this an expression of first fruits, giving the first fruits on the first day of the month. On the first day of the year is when you can also do it. We like to give it on God's New Year Day, on Rosh Hashanah, and we also do it on January 1st, or the first weekend in January. Do you know what, when Constantine changed the calendar and he made the first day one, do you know what day he thought he declared that to be? Emperor's Day, a counterfeit, where the Hebraic first day is God's day. to honor him, to give him the first fruits. Constantine said, no, that's Emperor's Day. That's the day you worship me. Anyway, Constantine was he saw the Christians and the Jewish people being blessed in their worship practices. That's why he abolished it. That's why Jewish traditions became outlawed. They couldn't give first fruits anymore. They couldn't do that. And he changed the calendar to confuse the cycles of worship. And there's more, but that'll be enough to get you going. Amen? Okay. Can I make the suggestion that I think you need, now that you've heard the word, that you need to be able to be a doer of the word, according to James. I want to give you an opportunity now to prepare and seek God in the spirit realm for a first fruit today, to activate what you've just heard. So today you may want to give a first fruit, even if you haven't given one for the new year of 2018. You can do that. It's still January. You can give the Lord a first fruit offering for the new year. If the Lord has already put on your heart something from your income, from your job, you can do that. Whatever the Lord, just if you close your eyes, seek the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, what would you have me to do as a first fruit offering of where I need to be blessed? Amen. When we give in time, with the first day of the month, the first time of the year, I see that God blesses time. You know, I just learned that it's whenever the new moon is. So I got like a farmer's almanac before I knew the teaching behind it. And whenever it was a new moon, I went and gave my apostle a first fruit. Do you know, there was a couple of times, it was just, I think it was two or three at the most, and life was just going haywire. I'm like, my gosh, what is going on? And I look, oh my gosh, it was a new moon 2 days ago. I did not give my first fruit. So I will always try to give them, because of that, ahead of the first fruit. I won't give them after. I like to give them beforehand to make sure that my time and my month and my family are blessed. So there's time dimensions. Other first fruits might cover finances and other things. I hope I haven't confused you. But what I want you to do is take a look at that handout later on, and it'll give you some ideas of how to move forward. These are the ways that God has shown me, so see how the Holy Spirit would lead you. Amen? So why don't we just pause for a moment? Let's just close our eyes. I just want you to seek the Lord if he wants you to give a first fruit today. And the one more thought is, if you have absolutely nothing in your account, no cash, if you've got even a quarter, if you've got a change, just give the Lord something that you can bless. If you have almost nothing, just find something. I remember my pastor would always say, just give God something. Even if it's a button, just give him something that he can bless it back to you. You know, the widow, she gave just the tiniest little widow's mite, right? Just the tiniest amount. I've had conferences where people have had nothing, and I get into my purse and I start giving out cash. If anybody needs that today, you can get me afterwards and let me know. If you have nothing, not even a quarter or a nickel in your billfold or your purse, let me know. I will give you something to put in an envelope that you can give as a first fruit to your apostles. So just go quiet, see what the Lord is saying, and then grab an envelope, put first fruits on it, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to come up and to put it in the basket.
Apostle Leonard and I have lived debt-free almost our entire life. You're sitting in a church that is debt-free. Now that is the provision of the Lord. When you follow God's principles, God does do miraculous things. Far above what we can even imagine or think, because he has the plan. And I liked what Dr. Carroll said, there's a way to worship him. He has outlined it in the scripture. It's not up to us to decide how we're going to worship him, but it is learning how God wants to be worshiped.